Welcome back to VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings, right here at MSG Plus and SiriusXM Channel 204 on the radio side. Skill Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, and Kelly Bidlin with you for the next hour. We're here every Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here at MSG Plus, looking for in-game betting opportunities. Nothing really in-game thus far for us in this baseball game. It's all pre-flop. I love my Clayton Kershaw over 6.5 strikeouts right now through three innings for Kershaw anyway, four strikeouts, so looking good right now as the Dodgers take their cracks at Tyler Glass now in the bottom of the third, Austin Barnes to lead things off.
Did you get, was this an alt line that you got the 6.5 or was that what was posted? The number.
Yeah, both of them had 6.5. I it was a little juicy on the over.
Yeah.
I paid -142 to get it.
Yeah, that's a good number. I think that one probably was hit a lot during the day because most of the ones I saw were gotten to 7.5 throughout the course of today. Where we sit right now, -182 on the Dodgers, +145 on the Rays, a live total of 5.5. And again, Gil, as we sit right here, I mean, there has just not been a lot of action. One hit for each team so far.
One hit for each team, and both were singles. So not even an extra base hit. This is kind of what we expected, though, between Kershaw and Glasnow in this one. By the way, as Austin Barnes is taking his cracks here, let me just say this, because we didn't mention anything earlier in the week, and I just wanted to point out, because we haven't ever talked about boxing on this show, but we had a big fight this weekend between Lomachenko and Lopez. Lopez was a lightweight championship fight. A lot of people watched it, went the distance, and again, apropos of nothing here, it's just a cautionary tale. You're a big UFC guy. Mm-hmm. Later in the week, we're going to have Jordan Sherwood because Habib fights this weekend. So we're going to talk UFC. And I wonder from your UFC perspective, if you have as much trouble, I don't get the feeling you do. And I bet a lot of UFC during the pandemic, during the summer as well, when there were no other sports. Boxing, though, never fails to ruin the mood of a bettor. Because not that Lopez didn't win the fight. Yeah. He did win the fight. But I'm reminded every time there's a big time fight, I'm like, why do I bet on boxing again? Because everybody ultimately is watching a different fight. My scorecard versus the actual judge's score, there was a 119 to 109 in that fight. That fight was nowhere close to 119 to 109. It was probably 7-5 in favor of Lopez in the end. But it shows you also how an announcer will influence what people think about it. Timothy Bradley was super pro Lopez the whole way through. Anyway, it was just a quick reminder about, if you bet boxing, and we'll eventually run into a boxing match here on this show, do so with caution. Not as bad in UFC?
Not as bad, but I mean, it's still fairly bad. I advocated, when I was actually working in the industry for the longest time, I advocated that the judges actually be isolated and watching on monitors as opposed to actually being there cage side, because there's a few different things that come into play. First, the crowd, you know, obviously the favorite, the guy that everybody likes, is going to get all the cheers. So every single punch he lands, and then the other guy doesn't get anything, right?
And during a global pandemic with no crowd, almost weirder, because then you hear the corners so clearly.
And the announcers.
Right.
So you hear Joe Rogan when a punch lands and he's like, all this and, you know, and all these things. And so again, we are but human, right?
We
try not to let that stuff influence us, but subliminally it's going to influence you, you know? And so I had always advocated that the judges have to go into the back and like watch. And the other thing, and the reason I would say watch on a monitor, or let's say a three monitor setup, is because like you mentioned, also, so they have these guys positioned around the cage in different spots. You can get a completely different vantage point and a completely different perspective on a fight than the other person, right? Especially
it's
if you
so
consider
true.
How things are going. Because if you're over there and the majority of the fight takes place over here and you don't really see all the little intricacies that are going on, you're getting a completely different perspective of a fight than other people. And it seems like the only place to go is to sit there and look at a monitor and do like that.
I thought Timothy Bradley, who was doing the color of, by the way, Mookie Betts has once again gone to a full count. Tyler Glasnow did retire. Austin Barnes struck him out looking for the first out of the inning, but Mookie here in a 3-2 count coming up. I thought Timothy Bradley was like super pro Lopez, and I was like, you know, people watching it, not the judges, but the people watching it were super influenced by that. Lopez did win. I'm not arguing with who ultimately won. But it's the same way if you remember the Pacquiao Horn fight in Australia, by the way, swinging strike from Glasnow to Betts. Teddy Atlas did that fight.
Yeah.
And Teddy Atlas was super pro Pacquiao. And as it went to decision, I remember everybody was like, I mean, he thought Pacquiao won every single round of the fight. And I tweeted at that moment, I was like, I don't think this is that lopsided. Right. I think this decision is going to be way closer than people think. And Horn ended up winning the fight. And so everybody on Twitter went crazy, like, oh, complete robbery. And I'm like, you can disagree with the decision, but I don't think it was robbery. Like, different people could have seen that fight different ways. By the way, Pacquiao, after the fight, I thought, didn't really have a problem with it until he heard people shouting robbery. And then he was like, yeah, robbery.
The other part that you brought up is about the pandemic. And I still have buddies who are, you know, in the industry, managers or trainers or different things like that. And so it's always been a thing for a corner to certainly talk up your guy. But it's like on steroids now because, again, the judges can hear you, right?
It's so strange.
So every little thing is like, oh, you're winning. Like, you'll hear these guys say, like, you're winning this round. Like, you're winning this. Right. And it's like, they just want to keep beating it into the head of the judge that over and over and over again, he's winning this round. He's winning this round. He's winning this round.
It's like a strategy almost.
Yeah. And so
they can hear you. Yeah.
You continue to like say things like that to where you're hopefully influencing what they're thinking. And it's now a part of the game.
The judges, the fighters, they all hear the corners. It's crazy. It's really bizarre. And I think the other thing that, you know, with UFC more under the spotlight since the shutdown, you have more people that have become fans of the sport, but also more people that have seen the issues with judging the sport as well. Mm. And it's more, just all more under a microscope right now.
It's a little bit easier for me, I think, because there are a lot more finishes in MMA than there are in boxing, which is like kind of, which really helps me deal with this a little bit better because a lot of fights don't, there is a higher percentage that don't go to the judges so that you're not sitting there getting disappointed all the time. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of controversial decisions, but you mentioned Khabib Nurmagomedov is going to be fighting -335 against Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje +260 right now over on DraftKings. And again, this thing could be on the move throughout the course of the week. So if you lean one way or the other, certainly something. If you lean more towards the underdog here, I would go ahead and grab this number now because typically what we see in these big title fights, and it's what we've talked about with a lot of times when we look at these money line deals, people don't want to lay $335 to win $100. So typically, if you like the favorite, you hold out. If you like the dog, take it.
Oh, early. I would have thought the other way around. I would have thought that if you like the dog. Oh, no, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, they start rolling in.
They start rolling in. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Matt,
which is what happened with Mayweather and McGregor. We waited as long as possible for Mayweather. You got him at $5 or less, and then you just pounded Mayweather. If you have the stomach to lay that kind of juice, which I did and lots of others did on Mayweather in that particular case. By the way, Corey Seager with his second walk, this one a two-out walk. So the Dodgers have Seager at first base here in the bottom of the third. Both Kershaw and Glasnow with four strikeouts. Both of their props were 6.5 over-under, so Justin Turner now taking his cracks, but he's behind in the count 0-2 with two down, runner at first here in the bottom of the third.
And with this sitting at 260 on Gaethje, the other thing with them getting the partnership with ESPN, like this is going to be highlight after highlight of Gaethje's crazy wild fights and knockouts and things, and he's going to make casual fans of his just through the hype leading up to this fight.
Because he had a great fight during the summer.
And so the 260... I'm not going to say it's definitely going away. Probably going away. I would if you like it, I would get it now.
But if I'm reading in between the lines here, you tell me if I'm wrong. I'm sensing that you like Khabib.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
And you're waiting for the most favorable price you can get.
An hour before the fight, probably.
I'm doing the same thing you're doing, and then I am pounding Khabib.
Yeah. Like, till an hour before the fight. I'm going to give everyone every last chance to see every Gaethje highlight there is on the face of the planet.
By the way, Glasnow gets out of it. He strikes out Justin Turner. So fifth strikeout through three for Tyler Glasnow. Kershaw has four. Scoreless through three. Live
and,
line.
150 now. Dodgers -150 +118 on the Rays. And our live total is all the way down to a flat five.
A pitcher's duel. A Rosarena to lead off the top of the fourth for the Rays. Let's put it this way with that fight. And we will, again, Justin Sherwood on Friday on the show here on Primetime Action. We'll also have Chris Felica, the Bear. Hey, we got the Bear on the show on Friday. How about that? Talk college football with us from ESPN's College Game Day, Daily Wager, and, of course, the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast. We look forward to that. Tell me how – what's the – you always talk about the path to victory. How does Gaethje possibly win this.
It is a flash knockout. Like, that's, I mean, you know, way. there's like, we call it the punch of death, and you'll see it happen so many times, like in MMA, like you can clip a guy in this weird spot, kind of like behind the ear, and it gets your equilibrium all messed up, and then like you can't, and then they'll get knocked out because they can't get their wits about him or something like that. Like maybe something like that, but I don't think he's going to have the chance. I think Khabib's just going to grab a hold of him, pull him to the ground. And it's not going to be an exciting fight. If you think that this is going to be a barn burner or something, it is not.
I'm all about laying the money on Khabib in this. Khabib Nurmagomedov, who I get it, a lot of people here are not UFC people. I'm with you. I'm not nearly the UFC guy that Matt is. But just to sort of try to jog in your memory, he beat Conor McGregor.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Quite handily.
One of the most dominant fighters we've seen in a very, very long time. And again, not super exciting. He's not one of the like kind of John Jones types, which is one of the most exciting, you know, one of the most dominant fighters we've seen. But John Jones will go out there and really beat people up. That's not his style. But
yeah,
listen, when we're betting, we just want the guy to have his hand raised at the end.
Yes,
you know.
Yes,
and
sir.
So that's what it's all about.
Anyway, we didn't intend to talk about it, but I wanted to bring it up because I was reminded of again my experience this weekend betting that fight, and I had, because a buddy of mine who's a big boxing guy said Lomachenko's the guy. It's sort of like a Mayweather-Canelo thing where Canelo was too young. He thought Lopez would be too young. Didn't work out that way. Lopez definitely won that fight. But I'm just reminded of, even though it was a legit loss, I'm just reminded because this happened with Triple G and Canelo. I bet Triple G in one of those fights and was convinced, convinced he beat Canelo. And when it went to Canelo, I was like, okay. Remind me never to bet this sport again.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. It'll get to you for sure.
Yeah.
So our friends at DraftKings sent us this thing, y'all. I want you to take a look at it because we've talked about this on the show a couple of different times. We've actually even asked Johnny Avello about it, who joins us every Thursday whenever we're here on the show. But they sent us the most bet games from week 6.
Yes.
By region.
This is fascinating.
So this kind of gives us an idea of where the different bets came in and where they are actually located. And so if you take a look right here, so it's actually like by state. So
these
you
are all
see,
DraftKings jurisdiction.
This is all DraftKings jurisdiction. So New Jersey, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Indiana, Iowa, New Hampshire, Colorado, and Illinois. And so you can see like the most bet game in these different, and then all the way down to kind of like the fifth most bet game. Yeah. And it's pretty interesting when you really take a look at it because like, why did the people in Pennsylvania like the Bills? So, you know, but the people in Jersey don't. And, you know, it's very interesting to see the regional bias.
There's two things that come up, right? There's regional bias. By the way, Arosarena now down one ball, two strikes to Kershaw as he takes a wild hack, swing and a miss. I know where he was swinging that one for. Kershaw, 44 pitches in. Not only the regional bias on these DraftKings, on this nice little image that we have, but also a testament to teams that are public and teams that are not, right? So the Kansas City Chiefs are region proof.
Right.
Right? They are the defending Super Bowl champions. They have the marquee player in the league in Patrick Mahomes. And it doesn't matter if you're in New Jersey, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Indiana, Iowa, New Hampshire, Colorado, or Illinois, all of the places where DraftKings is operating, the Kansas City Chiefs are on the board as one of the top five bets. Period. End of story. Strikeout number 5 for Clayton Kershaw. He gets Randy Arosarena swinging, one down, top of the 4th. That ought to, now when Arosarena is cleared, what does that do to the number?
175 now, plus 135 on the race.
It's a big guy to get out, obviously. The other team that comes up a lot there, and I'm curious, is the Buffalo Bills. Now the Buffalo Bills are taking on the New York Football Jets. Don't Jets fans know it? This is for the coming week?
No, this is from this past week.
Past week. So people loved the Bills in that game last night against the Chiefs. So you see both the Bills and the Chiefs. What does that tell us? That tells us that more than any other game, that was by far a game that people wanted to bet. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter which side, but people had an opinion on that game.
This is the other reason why I found this graphic so interesting, because we talk about this, these island games, right?
Yes.
And these standalone games. And while this wasn't necessarily, it did, you know, there were two games on Monday night. This one happening at 5 o'clock Eastern over there, you know, where everybody had a chance to tune into this thing. It was, that's what was most interesting to me as well, because you can see with how often they pop up, everybody was betting that first Monday night game.
Everybody was betting.
They were getting down on
the strange 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific start, but none of these in the Pacific time zone, by the way. Most of these in the Eastern time zone and then the Central.
How about the people in Illinois thinking the Bears are a fraud? They're the fifth most bet team. Even the people in Illinois don't like the Bears.
Well,
like,
they still got top good. Five at least. The one that surprises, the one to me that is the most amusing, and I have no explanation for whatsoever, is the number. By the way, is this handle or is this tickets? Do we know? We'll check. We'll effort that.
Yeah, I think it was handle.
The number one bet team in New Jersey, the flagship DraftKings jurisdiction, was the Detroit Lions against the spread against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Please explain to me why that was.
I can only assume there were a lot of people who got, this almost seems like a spite bet, doesn't it? Like so many people got burned by the Jags. So like weird. They were just like, God, I thought the Jags were good. You know what? I'm betting against them this week. That's what's happening.
The other team that comes up, and when you talk about the, you know, the standalone games, the primetime games, Sunday night games are, and we asked this of Johnny, what's going to be your most bet game? He correctly, by the way, said Green Bay and Tampa Bay, and you see Green Bay logos all over this graph. But the other one is the Rams. That was the Sunday night game against the Niners. They ended up getting beat pretty handily. We don't see anybody on the Niners side in these top fives in every state. What does that tell us? That tells us that recency bias is real.
Mm-hmm.
And that the last time folks had seen the San Francisco 49ers play, they were having all kinds of trouble. But this was Jimmy G's return. No one knew if Jimmy G meant anything. Worked out very well for the Niners. So there's a lot of different things happening on this snapshot. There's regional bias. There's it displays how people love to. There's regional bias. There's recency bias, and there's standalone bias.
Yeah.
So there's a few things happening. And then there's public team bias when you take a team like the Chiefs. So there are four different things happening in that. And then there's the weird quirk of the Lions in New Jersey, which I have no explanation whatsoever.
And I think the only other thing we can draw from there is DraftKings had a pretty good week because Green Bay Packers lost and the Bills lost and whatever. Yeah, so they had a pretty good week.
Gil, that Lions Jags game was the one we were talking about. We were like, we have no feel for this whatsoever.
Idea. That's right.
It's at the top of that list. Yeah.
Kelly and I, the question that we asked on the Megapod, and I asked it on this show. By the way, Clayton Kershaw's sixth strikeout of the game through four. I just need one more strikeout to hit the over on that prop. Still scoreless. By the way, he got a Rosarena swinging, grounded out, Renfro grounded out, Margot out swinging. So Clayton Kershaw
at this point would be a bad beat for you. He's only at 55 pitches.
Yeah.
So it would be quite the bad beat.
I'm going to get that. Come on, Clayton. One
and
more.
Anyone that bet Glass out, probably be a bad beat for you as well. He is at 5-3 and he's only at 56 pitches. So lots of swings and misses in this one.
Thank you to DraftKings for sending us that. And thank you for putting that up, because that's fascinating. That in one snapshot shows you four different betting truisms. Again, regional bias, recency bias, standalone game bias, and public team bias.
Yeah. And that's why I thought it was so great. When I saw it, I was like, wow, this is like the perfect illustration of the stuff we talk about.
That's a beautiful thing to see. And it shows you if you're trying to be a successful bettor. There's nothing foolproof. There are going to be weeks where all of those things are the right things to do. There are going to be weeks where the Kansas City Chiefs are the bet to make.
Right.
But generally speaking, if you can resist those biases, if you can say to yourself, hey, am I just betting this because this is a standalone game? Mm-hmm. If this were immersed with eight other games on a Sunday morning, would I actually bet this? That's one question. The other question would be like, hey, I'm a big fan of the Kansas City Chiefs because they're Super Bowl champions. Should you be betting that just because of that? Should you be betting that because the last time you saw the Niners, they were terrible at football, but maybe it's just a short-term thing? And then the last thing is, regional bias, which has to do a lot with the public team stuff as well. So it's fascinating. And we'll try to show that every week. And thank you to DraftKings for sending us that. Yeah. By the way, DraftKings wasn't the only book that had a good week this week in the NFL. I think books all over the place.
I think everybody did. It seems to me from what we kind of gathered and maybe even here in the studio that there was a lot of Packers money. People didn't like our assessment of the Bucks in that Packers game. It seemed like there was a lot of people on the
Packers. She's not even noticing. She's off there in the corner doing what she's doing. She didn't even.
That's kind of what we were talking about.
Took a little subtle shot there, Danielle. Yeah. Matt did. Might have to break you two up over there in the corner.
You know.
So that was cool, by the way. Now the live line on the Dodgers as we go to the bottom of the fourth is, I would imagine it's closer to 200 here.
We are now sitting live line of minus 186 on the Dodgers, plus 145 on the Rays, and that total, another half run down to 4.5.
4.5. We have only had one base runner in scoring position in this game, and that was in the very first inning, the top half of the first for the Rays, when they got first and second with one out, and Clayton Kershaw got out of that. But that's the only time we've had a runner in scoring position. No one has advanced past first base, and as you said, beyond that, and as you said, just one hit given up by both of these
starters. Well, no base runner since that, because that was a hit and a walk in the first inning. He's only given up a hit and a walk
right
so far. So he has actually not allowed a base runner since the early in the first inning there. And even Glass now, I mean, look, he's does have two walks as opposed to the one on Kershaw's side, but he's been pretty sharp as well here. 5 Ks, only one hit allowed through three.
Dodgers have had a base runner each of the first three innings. None have advanced past first base, though. Seager, a walk in the first, a single from Taylor, a two-out single from Taylor in the second, and then another Seager walk with two out in the third. So really, no high-pressure pitching to speak of for Tyler Glasnow as Max Muncy steps into the batter's box, and it's a 1-1 count from Tyler Glasnow to Muncy as we start the bottom of the fourth. Game one of the World Series. We wish we could be with you all night. We got a little more time together. Come on back. Looking for opportunities to bet in-game. We shall see. It's VSiN's primetime action powered by DraftKings.
DraftKings VIPs enjoy exclusive benefits, enhanced promotional offers, top-tier customer support, access to personalized contests, and more. Visit DraftKings.com/VSiN to learn more. Plus, everyone can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers can get up to $1,000 as a sign-up bonus. Sign up with promo code VSiN to claim your exclusive offer. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. Gil, you win the contest for most distracting during a read today.
One of us might have gotten out of his chair and done a big Tiger Woods fist pump. That would have been me. We don't have a winner yet tonight, but we do have a losing bet from Kelly Bidlin because Cody Bellinger just went yard off Tyler Glasnow. Two-run shot.
Kelly. Shoulder's fine.
Kelly, of all the players fine. To bet against, the one guy that hits the first guy to hit the home run is like the one guy that we bet
shoulder's
against.
Fine, everybody. Shoulder's fine.
By the way, apologies, Danielle. I'm sorry. It was terrible form on my part. Poor Danielle's doing a promo.
You were out of your chair.
She's a pro.
About
she's
to rip another ACL dancing over there.
Kelly's dying over there. Cody Bellinger. So what happened there is Muncy walked to start off the inning. Will Smith grounded out, but Muncy got to second. So I was going to say this is a rough position for Kelly because a knock, his RBI, he had minus a half RBI under on Bellinger that he was in trouble, and Bellinger went ahead and just knocked it out of the park. And Bellinger with his, you know, just like he did in game seven against the Braves, as soon as that went off his bat, he just postured, gone, and no chance.
And like we said, the problem with Glasnow has really been the long ball. I mean, mm-hmm. The guy has just given up a lot of home runs, and it just happened to be unfortunate. If you're just joining us, you're probably wondering, why are these guys losing it over a two-run shot? It's still early in the game. Like, yes, it is, but it was just funny because there was one bet made on one specific player, yes. And it just happened to be that specific
Kelly,
player that hit a home run. So
it's all right. You had a great week last week, Kelly. You're allowed one little gaff.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. Hey, we had an amazingly lucky and good night last night. So
We did. I mean, listen, the stretch of the show has been great. I'm pumped because, in case you missed the beginning of the show, I'm on the Dodgers every which way. every which way. I got him first five tonight. I got him full game tonight. I got him for the series multiple ways. I have a double result. They win today and they win the series. I got the over on Clayton Kershaw and strikeout. So I am all in, pushed all the chips onto the table for the Dodgers in this series. I even have them in a sweep at 7-1. There are all of my bets, eight of them, four in this game alone, four for the series.
Won one too, Gil. I'm sorry. You deserve a video to score first.
Dodgers to score first. Give me a video. Another primetime winner. Thank you very much, Eric Midler. Thank you. I was going to forget that I deserve a video. Are we going to do it for all of these? If Kershaw goes over and get another, and then when I win the first five here, if they can get three more outs, we're going to do another?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure the viewers will love that. Another video. There's a walk, by the way. One out walk.
This is working for my, because I have a team total over for the Dodgers as well. Like so this is good stuff.
Cody Bellinger, who last year, I have bad luck with big Dodgers bets for regular season. Last year, I had a 50-1 ticket on Cody Bellinger to hit the most home runs in Major League Baseball. He was in it till about 6 weeks left in the season, and then he just stopped hitting homers. Just stopped hitting entirely. And, of course, the Mets, Pete Alonso, ended up winning that. Then this year, I had Corey Seager to win the National League MVP, also at 30-1. And Seager was an MVP candidate. I'm not sure he's going to get it. It'll probably be Freddie Freeman or Juan Soto. And then, of course, Seager goes ahead and hit five homers in the NLCS just to mock me. But there is Bellinger, two-run shot. And now Chris Taylor with a walk there. So runner at first, still one out here in the bottom of the fourth with the Dodgers up 2-0. What is our live line?
Yeah, what this could be doing is Glasnow kind of unraveling. So now up to four walks in the game through 3 1/3. Not good.
Not good.
If you were wondering.
Yes.
So what this has done, -770 for the Dodgers, plus 460 on the Rays. That live total has jumped all the way back up to 6 now. And the run line is actually sitting at 2.5.
There will be people out there who will bet the Rays here at plus 460. For sure. There will be people out there. I will not be one of those people, as you very well know. But I really I was a guy, and I talked about this on the radio this morning. I had the Nationals in the World Series last year, and I used to say to the radio audience, and I never invoked this word ever before, that it was their obligation based on the price of the Nationals to bet the Nationals. I've never said it since. I've never said it before. I've never used the word. It's your obligation to bet the Nationals at that price with Strasburg and with Scherzer on down the line. I didn't feel that way about this series. I feel like this is the Dodgers' year, and they are so dominant that they're going to get it done. It's early. Anything can happen. The Rays can come back in this game, and I could be completely wrong. So far, though, so good. We're coming back. Primetime action right here at MSG+.
We could all use some expert guidance with our weekly football betting, and now VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, is providing all access to everything we offer for the rest of the football season for only $129. From now through February 8th, you'll get our weekly digital betting guides, access to our 24/7 live video stream and daily email updates featuring the best bets, breaking news, advanced stats, and game previews, plus our updated college football guide, including all of the Big Ten teams. Give yourself an edge. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to get your football midseason special today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Gil.
Thank you, Danielle. I'm guilty of bad form in two different ways. One, going crazy while Danielle was reading the promo. And then two, we don't usually laugh at other people's misfortune on bets, but that Kelly,
one was just perfect.
It was just perfect.
You know what? I would expect y'all to laugh at me on something like that.
I'm okay with it. I mean, it's one of the, if I had to lose the bet, that's the way you want it to go.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
the one punch it out of the park. Picked. Give everybody a laugh.
Yeah. Under half an RBI. There's Cody smacking it out of the park. By the way, Tyler Glasnow is having all kinds of trouble with Jock Peterson. Just cannot get a third strike on him. The Dodgers' eighth place hitter, Chris Taylor, is on second. He was on first base via the walk. He stole second, so still one down in the bottom of the fourth. Just one out. 2-2 pitch to Jock Peterson. Glasnow is now 80 pitches deep.
3 1/3, 80 pitches deep.
Yeah.
Not good. We're going to see the bullpen.
There he goes. He got him.
Early here, because even with that, I mean, with another batter to come, you're looking at, you know, you're looking at mid 80 pitches here through four innings. So, I mean, he's got, if he's efficient, two innings left, but if not, you know, one more inning left in him.
Yeah, he just got his sixth strikeout himself. Both Kershaw and Glasnow, each with six strikeouts, got Jock Peterson to finally chase a high pitch. Peterson couldn't resist, so two out now. But the Dodgers still have Chris Taylor in scoring position. You have your Dodgers team total over, so you are hoping for a knock here.
Yeah, I'm hoping for. Yeah, I mean, I need two more runs. It was at 3.5. You know, like we said, a lot of baseball, but you know, two run jack right here would be nice.
Yeah, a lot of baseball to be played. Austin Barnes, Dodgers' ninth place hitter at the plate right now. He fouls off the first pitch. What's the number right now?
-670 on the Dodgers, +440 on the Rays, and a live total of 6.
All right. Live total bounces back up to 6. So no opportunities here in game because we're kind of waiting to see if the Dodgers fell behind. So the pre-flop bets look great by and large. You also have the over in this game, yeah. 7 as well. So you're just hoping for runs. That pitch is low. One ball, one strike.
Well, if we get to the bullpen here, this could be good time.
Rays have a great pen, but I think even the Rays weren't hoping. Even they were like, well, we wanted more than 4 innings out of Tyler Glass. Now they may put him in for the 5th because we're not at a terrible pitch count, so bad that he can't come out for the 5th. But this is much higher than the Rays would have liked, obviously. And there is a shot that's probably going to be a foul ball. Or is that going to be playable in foul territory? No, it's going to be out of play. One ball, two strikes. Now to Austin Barnes as Hunter Renfroe gives it a look, crashes into the wall, can't get there. So that's the story right now. 2-0 Dodgers, 2 down in the bottom of the 4th. Cody Bellinger's 2-run shot has given Clayton Kershaw the lead here as Kershaw wraps his arm in his Gatorade towel, keeping it warm.
If you're looking at the box score and you're going, wait a minute, how does this guy about to throw his 85th pitch? He's only given up 2 hits. Well, he's struck out 6 and he's walked 4. So you've when you strike out that many people and you walk that many people, your pitch count can get up there really quick.
Well, this is what I was saying very early in this ball game. He kept going to 3 ball counts, right? 3-2 to Mookie right out of the gate. 3-2 to Corey Seager. Had a 3-1 to Justin Turner that inning. You can't keep doing that against a lineup as relentless as the Dodgers. As the Dodgers try to win their first World Series since 1988. It's just game one tonight. It's just the 4th inning. But the Dodgers like the start that they're off to here. Here's the 2-2 pitch. That's right down the pipe, right down Broadway. Struck him out looking. If you had Tyler Glasnow over prop,
that hit,
that would be a winner. That is his 7th strikeout of the night. Kershaw, 6. He's on the cusp of doing it himself. Dodgers 2, Rays nothing. And as we go to the 5th, how far did that in-game line come down?
It came down pretty good. So -530 now. So off the 660, it was 770, 660. Yep. Now we're 530, +375 on the Rays. And that did tick down the total from 6 to 5.5.
I just got a text from somebody who knew my bets, and he said, that might be all the runs you need. Please, I do not believe that whatsoever. Please do not jinx with a comment like that. Clayton Kershaw, as good as he's been so far, you just never know. And then the Dodgers, I mean, what's their weakness? Their weakness is their bullpen. So,
and what we've seen is Clayton Kershaw's handled these lineups the first 2 times through, and then we've gotten to that 3rd turnover is when things have kind of fallen apart. Now, the Dodgers are well aware of that. I'm sure there's plans in place as to, you know, how they're going to handle that. But, yeah, he's been very, very good first 2 times through, and then kind of that 3rd time is when things have gotten off the rails when it has. So, again, they're well aware, so I'm sure there's a plan in place.
They are well aware. By the way, Joey Wendell, Willy Adames, and Kevin Kiermaier, still the 2nd time through the lineup, they are set to face Kershaw in the top of the 5th in this one. So, early drama. Good for some, not so good for Kelly's particular bet. Let me ask you, by the way, that DraftKings logo, I'm going to use that for the radio side tomorrow because that was great. We're showing all the football graph as well. Giants and Philadelphia is our Thursday night game. We will be here, obviously, on primetime action while the Thursday night game is going on. The Eagles, for all you Giants fans out there, the Eagles are 4-point favorites in this game, and I want to ask you about the Thursday night game. We'll talk about it that night before kickoff. The Eagles were 6.5-point favorites against the Giants. The Giants, who get the win against Washington when Ron Rivera decides to go for two, and the Washington football team fails to convert the two, so the Giants get their first win of the year. In a tight NFC East, we've already talked about this, Cowboys lead at 2-4, Eagles 1-4-1, Giants and Washington football teamers both at 1-5. Went from 6.5 to 3.5 on the news that both Zach Ertz and I believe Miles Sanders are not going to play in this game on a short week. Ertz might be out for a while. Ticks back up, settles in at 4. Still a huge move.
Mm-hmm.
Are you not thinking Eagles -4? Do you believe in that move?
Getting more than a field goal, I'm actually fairly tempted on the Giants. I don't think I can bet on the Giants because I did make a pact with myself that I'm not going to bet on pathetic teams anymore. And so I'm not going to do that.
So sorry.
But I've bet on them, I think 2 or 3 times and in contest twice with them. Yeah. It's,
Enough is enough. Yeah. Enough is enough. I'm not going to do that, but it's tempting. I mean, listen, this Eagles team is a complete mash unit. I mean, it is up and down. They're not going to have DeSean Jackson back. They're not going to have Alshon Jeffrey back. So now it goes, whenever you look at where they are, is who can catch the ball. It is literally like pulling people off the street here. I mean, none of the offensive linemen are healthy, any of that. And the other thing is it's going to be very difficult for them to sign people as well because of the COVID rules.
We'll get your final thoughts on that. See if you are pulling the trigger on the Eagles. We'll come back. We'll get Matt's thoughts. VSiN's primetime action powered by DraftKings as we go to the fifth in World Series Game 1.